Sai Ram dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashant Nilayam, giving you a live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to begin with the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday Live. This is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh along with Brother Bhargav, inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignasa. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Ganesh, Sai Ram, dear listeners.
So, as per the...
as per our norm, every week, let's start with Ganpati Prarthana.
Yes. Om
Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannoti Vissida Sadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
With a prayer from the bottom of our hearts and offering ourselves at His lotus feet, with a humble prayer that whatever we think, whatever we speak, whatever we do, comes as His prasadam and His blessing, we commence this session. So, Bhargav.
So, what is... let us finish whatever little bit of Falashruti was there.
Yeah.
And you had promised that you were going to tell some interesting stories also.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, before starting, I think one thing we didn't touch last week was about the Abhishekam.
Yes.
We have that line called, Anena Ganepatima Abhishinchati Savagmi Bhavati. So, what we did, Ganesh, we just went back and saw if Swami has told anything about Abhishekam specifically. Mm. And I think we found some very
interesting insights.
Insightful discourses where Swami has mentioned about Abhishekam. Mm. So, one of them is a discourse in 1966 on a Shivaratri day where he says, observe the disciplinary rules that are prescribed for your sake and be benefited by the darshan of the Abhishekam at 11 a.m. So, see, if you just listen, if you just see, you get an indication that just having, witnessing an Abhishekam itself is so meritorious and auspicious.
And one more thing that Swami tells, this is an excerpt from a discourse which Swami gave on 2002 Shivaratri.
Mm.
Temples are nothing but Aiskanta Mandiras, centers of magnetic power. Okay, whatever power you experience in a temple is only due to the presence of magnetic power. You feel there is a great power in Tirupati. It is not the power of Venkateshwara Swami, the presiding deity. It is the power of the devotee's faith and surrender.
Interesting, correct?
Hence, there is tremendous magnetic power. Ramyati iti Ramaha. That which attracts is the principle of Rama. God has the power of attraction. Take any temple for instance. Only the magnetic power is present there. That is the power of divinity. It can be experienced only in temples and nowhere else. What is the reason? The deities installed in temples, the water used for Abhishekam, the flowers and the yellow rice used for worship, everything is full of magnetic power. That is the reason why people are attracted to temples.
So this gives a very interesting indication that even the water which is used for Abhishekam, if you partake it, or generally we sprinkle it on our head. So you actually receive that magnetic power of the deity. So that's why when this Falashruti had this point of Abhishekam, so we thought we'll touch upon this. This will be interesting for the listeners to know. So then next when we go, we had a promise that we will tell few stories about the next part of it, that is
Yo Durvankurair Yajati Savai Shravanopamo Bhavati.
So about Durvagras, Ganesh, we are eagerly waiting for the story.
Actually, there is a beautiful story about why Lord Ganesha loves to be worshipped with Durvagras. Actually, there was a huge and scary demon called Analasura, who was, as usual, troubling the gods. And then Ganesha takes upon himself that he wanted to destroy Analasura.
Mm.
And as given the promise, Ganesha goes and kills Analasura. So, in the process of protecting all the Devas, he gulps Analasura to destroy him. Mm. Because that was the only way to finish off Analasura. So, his body develops a lot of heat.
Mm.
So, in order to cool down, the sages and the saints, they take 21 types of Durva grass
mm-hmm.
and worship Lord Ganesha.
Okay.
And in the process, he gets cooled down.
Okay.
So, from then on, Ganesha is said to have been worshipped with Durva grass, and he becomes very, very
happy
when you worship him with Durva.
Yeah, this story is really interesting. And otherwise also, if you just see, do you know there is a small suktam called Durva suktam? So in that also, there is a line which says, Durva dusvapna nashani. So means, if you worship Durva or you probably touch Durva or do any type of a worship with Durva, it destroys your bad dreams.
Bad dreams, that is very interesting.
Again, because many times we have this small kids at home and they'll say, oh my God, I slept, I had a nightmare, I didn't have proper sleep. So, probably if you keep a Durva and worship the Durva at home or something, it will actually mitigate that problem completely.
And there is one more very beautiful aspect about Durva grass.
Mm-hmm.
This I had observed when one of our colleagues in the office when this recent solar eclipse had happened, we were asked not to partake of any water also during that period of time. I think from morning 8:30 onwards till 11:30.
Yes.
So, but this friend of mine had, he had taken a Durva grass and he had dropped it in the big can of water which we use for drinking.
Mm.
He told, now all of us can very comfortably partake of water because Durva has that power to nullify that effect of solar eclipse.
Negativity.
So, that's a very, very beautiful insight into what Durva grass can do.
Hmm. And not only that, even if you just go to the basic traits or characteristics of Durva, if you notice the grass, if you pluck it out also, even if you pluck out the grass, after some time you will see it again develop.
It grows very fast.
Very fast. And during summers you feel that the ground is dry, there is nothing, there is only sand or nothing grows there. But even a small drop of water, a little bit of rain also comes.
It sprouts.
Sprouts and it becomes green. Mm. So, I think it's a very interesting example of the creative power of the nature.
Exactly.
How the nature creates itself. If you just go and see in a summer hot, if you go and walk on a path in April or May where it's totally dry, you find there's nothing on it, nothing grows on it. But come rainy season, it blossoms. The green carpet comes and it looks so nice and beautiful. So the Durva has got this trait or characteristics of having the creative power. It creates itself very fast.
Mm.
So, any idea about Ganesha and creative power, anything comes to your mind?
Yes,
Ganesh?
Exactly. Whatever the students are made to do by Swami during the Ganesha Immersion Festival, what else can be a better example than that?
Yes.
Then, giving send-off to Lord Ganesha back to Mother Nature by involving ourselves in the best of creative activity.
Yes.
Lot of chariots, lot of color, lot of gaiety,
lot of types.
Types.
You know, sometimes Ganesha goes in
minions to transformers to.
No. He goes in Mangalyaan sometimes.
Yes.
And goes in a ship, goes in a Hamsavahana, goes in a peacock vahana. And I remember once, I think when I was studying, our students, we thought we got a very novel idea. What we did, we made a small car, and then in the back side of the car, we put Ganesha, and then the front seat with a small steering, we put a small Mushika.
Okay.
And then we called it as Mushikar. So I remember when we went to the mandir and Swami came, what is this? Then one of my brothers explained, Swami, this is Mushikar. This is a car where Ganesha sits in the back and then the Mushika, the mouse, drives it. So I was very happy. Swami smiled, he loved it and took some photographs with us.
Hmm.
So, the point I'm trying to make is that it brings out that creative potential in you. Swami makes it. And as you are telling, the type of celebrations which happen outside have got lot of commercialization these days.
Yes.
But the one which happens here, Swami channelizes your creative power of students in such a way that they are always directed towards the Lord.
Yes.
Whatever they do only to make Ganesha a beautiful chariot so that he can do his journey properly.
Yes, God should be pleased with whatever small act of worship you do.
You do, yes.
It might not be the grandest of things.
Yes.
Even if it is a simple thing, if you offer it with bhavam, he'll automatically become happy.
Yes. So this is about Durva. Mm-hmm. So again, if you come to the next one, Yo Modaka Sahasrena Yajati.
Mm-hmm.
So Modaka is a thing, you know, it's a nice round ball of steamed.
Already I'm feeling delicacy. Hungry, Bhargav, and over that you are telling about Modaka, and my name being Ganesh, I'm very much interested in this Modaka. There is a lot of insight that Swami gives into
this Modaka.
So maybe we shall
just read out what Swami has told about the Modaka. So Swami says,
On this day of Vinayaka Chaturthi, people make kudumulu and undraldu.
Oh, this is the Telugu name.
Traditional name of Modaka.
Modakas.
As special dishes and offer them to Vinayaka. They are special and unique in the sense that they are cooked on steam without any oil content. Til seeds, rice flour and jaggery are mixed, made into balls, cooked in steam and offered to Lord Vinayaka. You should inquire into the purpose of making such an offering. Til seeds are good for the eyes. Steam cooked preparations without any
oil
content are good for your digestive system. These steam cooked preparations are good for the eyes and are beneficial to people suffering from asthma and eosinophilia. One who partakes of such food will be free from blood pressure and blood sugar and will always enjoy sound health and happiness. Food preparations which are cooked on fire with oil content are harmful to Jatragni, the digestive fire.
Mm-hmm.
Such food gives rise to various diseases. One can lead a long, happy and healthy life if one avoids food with oil content. Vinayaka has a pot belly, but he has perfect health as he partakes of steam-cooked food without oil content.
So from now on, only steamed cooked
only
food, Ganesh.
Steamed cooked food, okay.
No oily food.
No oily food, yeah.
So much of insightful discourse this is, because Swami has given so many different tips for us to live healthy.
Live healthy.
Eat healthy. Mm. Because he's telling it good for eyes, it's good for blood sugar, blood pressure, then it's good for it reduces your asthma.
Like eosinophilia.
And it's like something...
A complete medical...
what you call a holistic diet.
Holistic diet, yes.
Everything, because I think, and I don't know whether you are aware that recently, I think last year or something, when news came that there was one study was done about which is the healthiest breakfast or meal in the world. And you know what?
Idli?
Idli, yes, you're very true. Idli was the one which was voted as the most healthy and nutritious breakfast in all types of foods or around the world.
Around the world.
So that's what Ganesha can never be wrong.
Yes.
So whatever he does is correct.
It'll be the best.
Yes. Mm. But yeah, though you know many people don't like idli so much, we eat it. But because this is Ganesha's diet, special diet, we should not miss it.
But depends on the combination what you are taking along with idli that matters.
You are getting too much into the idli part of it. The chutney will be good actually. Yeah. So if you go to the next one, is there something else left in this or?
Yo Modaka Sahasrena Yajati Savanchita Phalamavapnoti Yasajya Samidbhir Yajati Sasarvam Labhate Sasarvam Labhate.
I think about the Ashto Brahmana, I think we had covered last time. If you teach someone else, so you will get the benefit of that and the merit of that.
Samyagrahayitva Surya Varchasvi Bhavati Surya Grahe Mahanadhyam Pratimasannidhauva Japtva Siddha Mantro Bhavati Mahavighnat Pramuchyate Mahadoshat Pramuchyate మహాపాపాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే, మహాప్రత్యవాయాత్ ప్రముచ్యతే, ససర్వవిద్భవతి ససర్వవిద్భవతి.
సో ఫైన్, లైక్ మోర్ ఆర్ లెస్ వీ హావ్ నాట్ డన్ జస్టిస్ టు ఇట్, బట్ ఎట్లీస్ట్ వీ హావ్ జస్ట్ టచ్డ్ అపాన్ ఫ్యూ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ అథర్వశీర్షం.
యాక్చువల్లీ వీ కెన్ నెవర్ ఎవర్ డూ జస్టిస్ టు వాట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది వేదాస్, బికాస్ యాజ్ వీ గో డీపర్ అండ్ డీపర్ ఇట్ విల్ గివ్ అస్ మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ అండ్ ఇన్సైట్స్.
సో విత్ ప్రేయర్స్ టు గణేష దట్ ఎట్లీస్ట్ వీ హావ్ డన్ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ టచింగ్ అపాన్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ అథర్వశీర్షం. అండ్ we request the listeners again, if you have any more insights and any more thoughts on this, please share with us, so that we'll be enriched and we can also share with everyone else. But Ganesh, one thing I didn't like, one thing.
What is it? You are so serious about this.
Because you have been doing Atharshirsham Ganesha. You sincerely, scrupulously, we chant Ganesha Prarthana every day. Every week we chant.
Yes.
But we have not discussed the meaning of Ganapati Prarthana only.
Actually, that we should have done before even starting Atharvashirsham.
So let us do it. Better late than never. Why not we do it now?
So once, before we go into the meaning, because we are running out of time, first, can we just chant the Gananantha Mantra and then start the meaning of that?
Okay.
గణానాంత్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే కవిం కవీనాముపమశ్రవస్తమం జ్యేష్ఠరాజం బ్రహ్మణాం బ్రహ్మణస్పత ఆన శృణ్వన్నోతిభిః సీదసాదనం ప్రణో దేవీ సరస్వతీ వాజేభిర్వాజినీవతి ధీనామవిత్రియవతు గణేశాయ నమః సరస్వత్యై నమః శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః హరిః ఓం.
సో కెన్ వీ జస్ట్ గెట్ ఇన్ టు లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్, బికాస్ దిస్ ఆల్సో సౌండ్స్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ వెన్ వీ జస్ట్ went into a little bit of study about this. We found very interesting insights into Ganapati Prarthana also. So just the meaning of it, if you can just tell what it is.
Gananam, of the Ganas. Tva, you. Ganapatim, group lord, or Pati means lord. Havamahe, beckon you. Kavim, poet. Kavinam,
Of the poets.
Upamashravastamam means comparable. In this case, incomparable. Shravaha means famously heard as. Tamam denotes the superlative degree of anything. The entire phrase is famously heard of as incomparable and the best.
Yes.
Jeshtha, senior most. Rajam. Raj means to shrine, shine. Here it denotes the demigods or the deities who shine.
And he is the senior effulgent. He is the senior most of them.
Brahmanam, of those related to Brahman. Brahman means the supreme unmanifested absolute one. Brahmanaha, Veda mantras and their chanters. Pate,
Brahmanas Pate.
Anaha means come near us. Shrunvan, hearing. Utibihi, out of your grace. Sida means sit. Sadhanam, or to dwell upon. Prano Devi. Prano is to
manifest.
Devi is the shining one. The motherly aspect, the feminine aspect of the god. Naha means before us.
Before us, okay.
Saraswati.
Oh, Saraswati has
that
again.
That which flows smooth like rasa or liquid, the power of speech, vak.
Okay, vak.
Vajebihi, of energizers. Vajinivati, source of all, that which gives energy to all. Dhinama or buddhi or intellect. Avitri, descended
to protect.
Avatu,
So protect
to
us.
Protect us. Mm.
So this is like the meaning which we just, if you say word by word meaning. Mm. But otherwise, if you just dwell upon this, one thing which it talks about is this Kavinam. So he is the one who is a poet of poets. Means all those poets who get their verses, whatever inspiration they get. So it is he who is the source of all the poems. Correct? From there, from him everything comes.
This is a beautiful expression. Just before we start our Vedic chanting. Because as we all know, Sage Vyasa asks Ganesha to write the Mahabharata.
Yes.
It's a known fact that Mahabharata is the longest epic poem.
Poem, yes.
And Ganesha had the, he was on a condition that whatever Vyasa was telling, he had to understand and inscribe.
Yes.
That's a deadly combination actually.
Correct.
So, and he went on and on and on, also breaking his tusk to finish the epic.
Yes.
And then that too in a poetic form, which is the best and the biggest.
Yes.
Means in this way, the Kavinam, the expression which is given to Lord Ganesha, is true.
True. And not only that, I think he gives us one more hint here, that please, whenever you probably write or read something, understand the meaning and then you write, or then you compose, or then you chant. Mm. Because he did it himself. Mm. Because Swami says, my life is my message. So, Ganesha here is trying to tell us that when you compose, like he composed the Mahabharata, he wrote the Mahabharata, before that he understood what it is and then did. So, probably this is an indication for all of us that whenever we chant something, try to understand the meaning and chant. If not in the beginning, in the later stage when you get little bit of hold on the mantra, try to understand the meaning and then chant. And then, you know, there is a very sweet bhajan which we have about Govinda, about Venkateshwara. There is a Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtana Govinda Hari Govinda. There is one verse which comes which says, Purana Purusha Govinda Hari Punya Shloka Govinda. I never used to understand why Punya Shloka. Punya Purusha is fine. Why Punya Shloka? Then when we were discussing this Kavin, the poet thing came, then when we just tried to understand, it says the Punya Shloka is the one who is extolled in the transcendental poetry. The poetry which is beyond the poems which are composed by human beings.
Mm.
So God is the one who is extolled by the transcendental poetry. So here it is that there is a lot of similarity when we say he is Kavinam, the one who is the poet of poets.
Means as we, if my understanding is right, what is the ultimate form of poetry is nothing but the Vedas.
Yes.
So that which is described by the Vedas is his like form.
Yes, correct.
The absolute one.
Yes.
So Punya Shloka.
Punya Shloka. So because I remember we used to sing this many times. Bhajans also we sing. It's a very, so bhajan is a lot of tempo. So many of our boys like it. So this is one. And second, very an insight which was very special, which we felt was about Gananaam. Gana means Gananaam Tva Ganapatikum Havamahe. Means someone who is the Lord of
Lord
Ganas.
Of Ganas.
Oh, we read somewhere, we thought we'll just share with our listeners also that if you actually take, Swami says, the most complete creation of God is the human body. So if you actually talk, he says the macrocosm, the one which is outside in the universe, is there in this body, which is a microcosm. They are both the same, he says. So if you just take the example of the human body only, if you talk about the different systems, we have the lungs, we have the kidneys, we have the muscular system, the blood flowing, all sorts of systems are there in the body, which are very, very scrupulously and very meticulously controlled and operated by the brain.
Yes.
So, in this case, probably the brain is Ganesha.
Of course.
For all of us.
Yes. Yes.
And because when we pray to Ganesha, we pray for buddhi.
Yes.
We pray intellect. For buddhi, we pray for intellect, we pray for getting our buddhi right,
means to discriminate between what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong.
And then whenever we venture and think of doing something, we always pray to him to remove the obstacles.
Hmm.
So probably this is an indication that yes, Ganesha is the brain only. if you talk about Ganesha in the human body, probably he is the brain, because he is the one who gives the understanding and gives us the power, the strength,
wisdom
to carry out any activity.
So the next line, Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati. This is very interesting, because pra is a word where you are asking something to get manifested or appear before us. Devi, the shining feminine form.
You're asking her, beseeching her.
How means Saraswati in the form of the vak.
Vak, which flows.
Vajebhir Vajinivati means in this process, in order to make your speech flow, you are tapping that source of energy, which is the ultimate source. So,
And probably that is one thing. And second is, because they say that Vedam chanting itself generates that energy, that vibration. So you are praying for that energy to flow through you, so that it energizes the atmosphere and you and the people who hear it also.
And one more thing, Bhargav, very beautifully, every chanting session, every Vedam session is started with Gananantva, where your intellect is prepared, your mind is prepared, so that once you tap to that ultimate source of energy, your chanting should be so seamless.
Yeah.
And there is no hindrance of thought.
Because of you pray to Ganesha to remove obstacles.
Yes. Mm. So there is no question of forgetting something when you are chanting.
So means, When you actually chant this mantra with that bhavam, if we chant, it'll give that benefit to us. So I remember one small similarity. If you notice, whenever our boys come for bhajan singing,
any musician,
for that matter, they'll do the tuning of their tabla, or if they're playing playing a sitar or a violin, they first tune the strings so that the music which comes out seamlessly without any fault or any mistake. So probably this is a mental tuning where we pray to Ganesha that please you be the source of those kavis from where the verses flow. So we pray to you, and then we pray to Mother Saraswati to whatever has that inspiration has given us, that kavi, whatever that verses have come, let it flow through me with that energy, with that flair and with that ease, so that it benefits me also and the one who listens to it also. There's a lot of insight into this.
We are just taking our chanting for granted, that we are not able to even understand what we are doing.
Yeah. So this is like a mental tuning for all of us.
And the last three lines, first you are invoking Ganeshaya Namaha, Saraswatyaya Namaha, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om. Means Ganesha means you are preparing your intellect. And then Saraswati Namaha, you are preparing your vak
for the flow.
And then Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha.
So that when the intellect is ready and the vak is ready, actually when you do the chanting, as the guru is the one who removes darkness, dispels the ignorance. So the ignorance should be dispelled. So these are the three things which actually are mentioned in this.
That is what gives you enlightenment.
So this is like a complete package, I think. Correct?
Every day when you start, when you chant Gananantra, that itself is enough.
Yes. It's a complete package for us. Ganesha removes obstacles. Mother Saraswati gives you the seamlessness and the ease in spontaneity in chanting. So that the ignorance is removed. So I think nothing else is needed. Do we need to
can just sit silently and contemplate on Gananantra itself.
That's enough.
Yes. So I think we are running out of time, and with this we take leave from all the listeners and end this session of Veda Jignasa. We have something special from the next episode onwards. That we'll keep it as a surprise for all of you. And with this,
Kshama Prarthana.
Yes. With a humble prayer to Swami that whatever we think, whatever we speak and whatever we do comes as a gift from Him, and we offer it back to Him. we shall end the session with
Shrama Pradhana.
Yadakshara parabhrashtam matra heenam tu yad bhavet tatsarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visarga bindu matrani padapada aksharani cha nyunani cha tiriktani kshamasvasa ishvara aparadha sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya daso yamiti mamatva kshamasvasa ishvara anyatha sharanam nasti tameva sharanam mama tasmat karunya bhavena raksha rakshasa ishvara hari om tatsat sri sai ishvara arpanamas.
Now we have Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan classroom. And before we take leave, please do write in your ideas, your thoughts, your feedback, and whatever way we can correct to make this Veda Jignasa a better offering to Swami. Please do write in to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. Sai Ram, and happy listening. On the other side is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan classroom. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.